Well, I told you to remember the prayer that Vivian prayed. And Vivian, you had no idea that I was going to use that prayer at the beginning of my sermon. Is that how the Lord can work?
Yes.
So it must just be important prayer for us to pray. So what I'm going to do is I want to pray this prayer, and then I'm going to have you join me. But as you think about this prayer, I want you to think, what was the outcome the Holy Spirit wanted to see as a result of this prayer? What do you think the answer to this prayer would look like in a church, in a community of faith? What would it be like to know that you're rooted and established in God's love, and a whole church sense that they were rooted and established in the height and the length and the breadth of God's love, and to be filled to the measure of the fullness of God? So you notice how it starts. Where does it, Paul, start? Why do you think he told people that he was kneeling? Because he was passionate. I mean, this was really important. So I'm going to kneel, and those that want to will join me when we pray together the second time. I pray before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, our Father may strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. I pray that we, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. All right, let's pray together. And again, if you want to kneel, please join me. Able to kneel. Let's pray together. I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, our Father may strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that we, being rooted and established in his love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, ever and ever. Amen. 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 Do you notice how many dimensions Paul talked about when he was talking about God's love? Remember how many? There were four, weren't there? First, how wide his love is. How wide is it? All nations, all people, everyone. Wide enough for everybody. How long is his love? How long does it last? Forever, forever and ever. It's eternal. He loves us, and it's forever and ever. All right, how high is his love? High enough to experience God, isn't it? the love of God. How deep is his love? Do you know somebody that's in a dark pit? Addicted, distressed, depressed? Is his love deep enough to reach anybody? So, the greatness of his love. And Paul's basically saying, hey, this love of God is beyond measure. It's beyond our comprehension. Do you live in a way that demonstrates that you know the love of God? Does your life reflect the fact that you know that you're loved by God? Pastor Niall and Doris and Wendy and myself all went to a clergy retreat this week up near Richmond. And a bishop, Terrell Glenn, and his wife taught there, his wife's Teresa. And the theme of the weekend was Live Loved. That's where I got the sermon title. Live Loved. That's the challenge, I think, today. To live a life that you show that you know that you're loved. Now, you and I were created in the image of God, and God is love. So we are created in the image of love. So what's our greatest need? To know love and to experience love. So to know love and to experience love. So that's our greatest need. Now, David in the Hebrew Bible often sings about how precious life is. If you look at the Psalms, he often talks about how precious life is. But he tells us there's something more precious than even life. Because your steadfast love, and it's the word, it's a Hebrew word, hesed, it's not easy to translate, but here's some ways that it's translated. Loving kindness, mercy, grace, unfailing love, loyal love. So because your steadfast love is better than what? Better than life. Is your life pretty important to you? I had open heart surgery about a year ago. You know, it cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. It was a big ordeal to go for me to go through that in my family. It was a big ordeal. Why did I do it? To extend my life? To do all that to extend my life? Is life important? But what's it say? As precious as our life is, it's more, what God's love is more precious. It's better than life. That's why we have people that are there and there's a sword next to them, and they say, will you deny Jesus? And they refuse to deny Jesus. And they die rather than denying the love of Christ. Because God's love is better than life. Now let's go to 1 John. Do you know, John, Pastor Niall talked about this last Sunday, about John, what did he call himself? The disciple whom Jesus loved. Okay, why did he call himself the disciple whom Jesus loved? Do you remember a little bit about his history? Do you remember the nickname Jesus had for him? In his brother James, Sons of Thunder. Sounds more like a motorcycle gang, doesn't it, than a disciple of Jesus. And do you remember that they were in a Samaritan town? And the Samaritan town was not very welcoming to Jesus? And what did John and James suggest? Call down fire and let's destroy them. So that's a little background. I think God did some work in John's life because he's kind of known for his teaching about love. And if you knew some of the ways, I was not a very nice person. I know, especially when I was playing soccer, they would call me the goalie killer. I just wanted to win. And I didn't, if I hurt the goalie, then I... Anyway, I'm a Christian now, and I'm different. So he changes us. He changes us. So that's John who's writing about the love of God here. And this is how God showed his love among us. How does God show his love? He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a propitiation for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So we ought to love one another. What reveals the love of God? The cross. The fact that he came down and he died in our place, that reveals the love of God to us. It shows his love. Many of us know the music person, Michael Smith. And you know, he went through his time of addiction. But he wrote this song because he remembers the time he was on the kitchen floor addicted and going nowhere and not sure what to do. But he wrote this song, "Never Been Unloved." I've been unfaithful, I've been unworthy, I've been unrighteous, and I've been unmerciful. Sometimes I've been unwise, I've been undone by what I'm not unsure of. But because of you and what you went through, I know that I've never been unloved. I know that I've never been unloved. I've been unteachable, I've been unwilling, I've been undesirable. But because of you and all that you went through, I know that I've never been unloved. So, we come to the cross. First, the first reason we come to the cross is to save us from our sins, right? We need a Savior. So we come to the cross, first of all, to get forgiveness and to be saved and to know the Lord. If you haven't come to the cross, if you don't know that you're going to heaven for sure, then come to the cross and just ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Then once we come to the cross and we get saved like that, are we done coming to the cross? This passage tells me also, and the Romans 5:8 that says, this is how we know or how God demonstrates his love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if you want to know the love of God, a number of years ago I preached a sermon, and I don't usually do this, but I said, how many of you have never experienced the love of God? And you know, a lot of hands went up. I was shocked. I was surprised. Never experienced the love of God. Marty, how do I experience the love of God? One, you have to believe that God wants you to experience it. And we're all different. You can experience it in a different way than I experience. But God wants us. But one of the ways, you know, there's no magic formula. There's nothing in the Bible says this is the way for sure. But there's guidance in the Bible. And one of the things it says is think about what he did on the cross. That's where we can experience the love of God. And I know many Good Friday services we have here, I experience the love of God. And so the cross, so we continue to come to the cross to experience the love of God. And as I mentioned last Sunday, now talked about John saying he's the disciple whom Jesus loved. Why did he give himself that name? I think I have a guess as to maybe one reason he did. When I first started journaling years ago, I would, you know, that's where you listen to the Lord and you write down what the Lord might be sensing. When I first started doing that, it was like, my son, I love you. I write it down. But the next day, I'm your father, and my love for you is eternal. Yeah, and then the next day, my son, my love for you is perfect, never ending. And every day there was those two themes. It was a father and a son. I was his son and he was loving me. And you know, my relationship with my dad wasn't that strong. And so that was healing me. Just having the father's love, be reminded of that. You know, my dad wasn't one to express emotion or feelings or say that he loved me. And then it was a reminder of God's love. And I finally, you know, I was kind of immature, but I said, Lord, do you have to tell me every day that you love me? I thought, am I that insecure? What's the answer? Yes. I need to know his love. Every day. I can know it in my head, but we need to know it, to experience it. And What would a church look like if everybody in that church lived loved? It would be powerful. It would be life-changing, secure. You would have really no fear of anything because you knew and you were established and rooted in the love of Christ, knowing that nothing can separate you. Thank you, David Martin, for that scripture. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Absolute sickness, disease, demons, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So you know why I think John called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved, especially given his background? Because that reminded him that God loved him. We all need to find ways to be reminded of God's love. And again, we're different, so that's probably going to happen in different ways. But sometimes it just comes in an unexpected way. The first Sunday in February, I had just finished preaching, and I was here, and Tim started to sing a song. I'm not remembering the name of the song. Maybe Tim might remember this song, but All I Need Is Jesus, or I Take Jesus, but it was the perfect song for the message and for right that moment. You know how the Holy Spirit is, just like Vivian read that scripture that I was going to start with today. So all of a sudden, I'm feeling the love of God. I mean, I'm just feeling it, experiencing it. And I go up here, and I guess I was a little transfixed, you know, experiencing the love of God, helping Niall set up Pastor Niall for communion. He was celebrating that day and just trying to, you know, just being transfixed with his love. And Niall looks over at me, and he's not thinking I'm experiencing the love of God. He's thinking I'm having a stroke, he told me. So that was wonderful, but that didn't last. But you know, like in a relationship, in a marriage, you can have the tingle sometimes, but love is much greater than just feelings. But it was just wonderful to experience that love of God. And I think he wants everyone here to experience that love, and especially the way the Lord's already worked in the kind of prophetic time. Give me Jesus was the name of the song. Give me Jesus. And it was just so right. And then the other beautiful thing was right after, while I'm experiencing the love of God, I receive communion. That's one of the places where you can experience the love of God. Come up in faith. Come up expecting for God to touch you through his body and blood. And so when you look at the cross is one place where you can experience his love. But what is the communion is really about the cross, about his life, his death, his resurrection. So coming up and receiving communion. So if you've never experienced the love of God, I would encourage you, look at the scriptures, especially John and the letters of John. Read those. I would say spend time thinking, just meditating on the cross of Christ and Holy Communion. For some, it might be just worship, singing about the love of God, and we're going to do that. We have some other songs we're going to be singing that are going to emphasize this. Or you could take that prayer that we prayed right at the beginning, and instead of the us or the you, put your name in there. Pray it for you. Pray that you would be rooted and established. Just personalize it. Or pray it for us at Messiah, that this would be the kind of, that would be, we'd be a church that would be rooted and established. And you know, when you're rooted and established in love, you can think opposite about political things, right? You can have very different opinions about vaccinations. You can come from very different backgrounds. But in this ocean of God's love, those things are just earthly things. They're just opinions. And we have to transcend, our relationships have to transcend the things that divide the world. That's when we feel the love of God, when we're experiencing the love of God, when we're rooted and established in the love of God. So let's read this passage together. We love because he first, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a propitiation for our sins. Dear friends, so God loved us, we ought to love one another. Okay, so we come to the cross. One reason is to get saved, because we need a Savior from our sins. Second reason we come to the cross is to experience and know the love of God. And if it ended just there, I think what Dietrich Bonhoeffer would say, that's cheap grace. John talks about complete his love. It has to be completed. Love your neighbor as yourself. The two great commandments, love God and then love your neighbor. So it's not just about God's love for us. It's about completing that love. Let's look at this passage. Let's read this together. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And so, we just can't say, we love God, God loves us. We have to live that love out. Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commands. Obedience is a demonstration that we trust God's love. So we come to the cross to be saved. We come to the cross to experience his love. But then the third reason we come to the cross is to learn how to love like Jesus loved. To pick up our life, our cross daily. What's that mean? We die to selfishness. We die to self. We pick up that cross and we live to love. We live loved. We live to love. And so we need to keep coming to the cross to know his love and to learn how to love the way he loved us. So just a couple scriptures that I'd like us to read together. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, in this church, we don't just like to talk about things. We like people to experience things. So I'm going to put up one more slide, and we've used it on Good Friday, and it's about what Jesus did on the cross. And so I'm going to ask you, maybe that will help you. Maybe you close your eyes. Maybe you look at the cross behind the altar. But just take a few moments and meditate on what Jesus did for you on the cross. And again, I pray that if you have not experienced the love of God, that even right now, that his love would just touch your hearts and fill our hearts, because that's his will for us. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, pour out the love of God in our hearts. I'm just sensing that there may be somebody here just is thinking, God couldn't love me, all that I've done. That's where we talk about this love. It's so deep, it'll go as deep as you are and touch you with his love. You may be thinking you're not worthy of this kind of love. No, none of us is worthy of this kind of love. It's a gift. It's like a parent loves a child moment, even before it's born, there's love there, unearned, undeserved. You just love. God is our Father. He wants us to know his love. And if there's anyone that just maybe needs the Father's love, I would just encourage you to maybe just do some journaling and just listen to see what the Lord says to you, that he can bring some healing to you if there's any bitterness or hurt in your life because your dad wasn't there the way you wanted him to be there for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Lord, thank you that when we sing about your love, Lord, we're not just singing words. We're singing truth. We're singing reality. Keep us open, Lord, to whatever you have for us, Lord. Keep our hearts open and help us just to expect you to minister to us, Lord, because you're that kind of God that's reaching out to us. Thank you, Jesus.